Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And new hour, new day. It is a Thursday morning. And, boy, it's a short week because of Memorial Weekend. But we're back into it. Of course, the summertime is upon us. The 24th of June is our last broadcast on Talk Radio Network. And from there, we launch into either a new terrestrial opportunity. We will certainly be doing within a very, very short time. We will be continuing our program digitally, available to you as a download, as well as a live podcast broadcast, and our video cast will continue as well. And remember, folks, that we are fully mobile, so I don't know really much of the difference between, unless you're in your car, and of course you can always plug your iPhone or your smartphone into your system, but the fact is we are a mobile show. As a digital show. So our video casts are right now mobile live on your smartphone, as well as on your iPad, your tablet, as well as, of course, on your desktop. But if you're out and traveling, if you're elsewhere in the car or anywhere, you can hook up to our video cast right now and watch us live and certainly access the audio that way. So people are always asking me, well, where do you stream live, Phil? Wait, we're streaming live on our website right now.
Yeah, but that's video.
Yeah, it is video. And guess what else comes with the video?
What goes along with the video?
You mean like a prize?
Not a prize. If you wanted to listen to our show...
Oh, yeah, you could turn down... I mean, yeah.
There's audio on the video cast. So we are streaming audio live every night on The Phil Hendry Show. It's part of your subscription to philhendryshow.com. It's part of your backstage pass, as well as all of those thousands of hours of audio. So check it out. All right. Amanda Bynes' latest feud with a model. I don't know what's up with this girl. She got busted the other night for possession. She threw a bong out a window. You heard it. We reported it almost as it was happening. It was like some live unfolding fluid breaking, all that liquid stuff story. And she already had some problem before that. She gets popped. She accuses the NYPD of sexually harassing her, of physically molesting her. She accused a police officer of grabbing her in some untoward, ungentlemanly, and quite frankly, illegal manner. She went on to say that the cop that grabbed her didn't have any kind of a shot at being her boyfriend because he was ugly. The woman's strange, man. I mean, and that's putting it kindly. I don't know if she's being misquoted, but let's just suppose she ain't. I mean, anybody that takes a bong, a glass bong, and sees a cop come through the door and throws it out a window, I think she's capable of saying something really dopey on Twitter. It seems like every day now, Amanda Bynes has a bone to pick with somebody new. Her latest feud is with Sports Illustrated model Chrissy Teigen. Teigen tweeted Tuesday, May 28th, "The fact that Amanda Bynes has any support to retweet is really unsettling. Support people with mental illness, yes, but don't condone or enable scary and poor behavior." I agree.
Well, this is Chrissy Teigen, though, the supermodel, Phil. I don't know that anyone...
Yeah, nobody cares if you agree.
Oh, okay. Why are they listening to the show, then?
Yeah, they're listening and they want to know about Mr. Henry.
Well...
Yeah. Bynes then lashed out at her. Get a load of this. This chick, this Amanda Bynes, the word ugly really comes to this girl quite frequently. I don't know whether she's taken one too many looks in the mirror or not, but the cop was ugly, and now this sports model, she's supposedly ugly. This girl said something, I think, that needed to be said. Very courageous. She said, "Don't condone or enable scary and poor behavior." Absolutely damn right. So Bynes then lashes out, calling Teigen an old, ugly model, though both Bynes and Teigen are 27. "You are not a pretty model compared to me," Bynes wrote in an extended tweet. Good God, are you kidding?
Bet you Amanda Bynes say that?
Yeah.
Well, let me look at them side by side.
Get out of here. Are you kidding me? Oh, you see, they did this on purpose. This is not fair of ABC. They've got a picture of Chrissy Teigen, who looks fantastic. Then right next to her is one of Amanda Bynes, who looks like something that the cat drug in. Her hair's all wigged out. She's got on a baseball cap. She's acting goofy.
Right.
Are you telling me that's a normal picture of her? She tweets here, "I got signed to the Ford model agency at the age of 13. I don't look up to you beauty-wise. I'm far prettier than you. I'm offended that you're saying I have a mental illness when I show no sign of it, but thankfully, not one man that wants me wants you, and you are old, ugly model compared to me.
Woo!
She goes on to say, she can't let it go, she goes on to say to this Chrissy Teigen, you look 45, you're not pretty, so I'm not intimidated by you. I think you're jealous that you're just an ugly model whose career is uninspiring. I don't respect you. You're no beauty queen. I'm a beauty queen. The 27-year-old model left it there. Nope, not going to indulge. Wish the best for her truly, Teigen tweeted, asking her fans not to stoke the flames either. Don't, guys, she wrote. I don't need defending, and please stop writing her. It's not funny. It's sad. Bynes, the Easy A star, was arrested May 23rd after she allegedly threw a bong from her apartment window. She's been charged with tampering with physical evidence, reckless endangerment, and criminal possession of the marijuana. Since last summer, after Bynes was charged with a DUI and two counts of hit and run, Bynes has launched Twitter attacks on several of her critics. Click through to read this list of her targets. Courtney Love? Good. There's a whole bunch of them here.
Well, these are just different. Rihanna is one. Courtney Love is another. I don't know. Are these pictures of them?
I don't know, but there's Courtney Love, Rihanna. Who else? Oh, the NYPD. Well, I heard about that. She said the NYPD had physically assaulted her or molested her. I'm suing them all for this upsetting nightmare. The next people that she's had a feud with, Jenny McCarthy, Perez Hilton, and Jay-Z, and finally, I don't know who the hell else. Yeah, Jay-Z. So that's Amanda Bynes. I don't know. She says that the NYPD said that they did not assault her, that she's just a wigged-out chick. She said that she was grabbed. She accused a police officer of inappropriately touching her during her arrest last week in New York. An NYPD spokesman told ABC the department would investigate her claim. They did. Internal affairs investigators have found no evidence to corroborate Ms. Bynes' allegation. To the contrary, a credible civilian witness who was with the officers throughout told investigators that no one touched Ms. Bynes inappropriately or otherwise engaged in misconduct. Bynes was arrested Thursday evening after she threw a bong from her apartment window. On Saturday, she tweeted, I never had a bong in my life, and then later threatened to sue the police for her treatment. My lawyer and I are taking the mistake extremely seriously. You cannot illegally enter my apartment and then take me to a mental hospital without any grounds. I have never been so offended in my life. They found nothing criminal on me or around me. One cop then sexually assaulted me, so I'm suing for all of the above. I'll be happy when I get money compensation from the cop who assaulted me and NYPD for wrongfully arresting me and having me put into a mental hospital and jail overnight. I don't want to keep talking about it. Wow.
Why, she's stark raving mad.
Yeah, I think she's flipped. No question about it at all in my mind. She's flipped out.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems they're open and shut.
Well, you know, she's pretty wiggy. I wonder, I'm not going to blame the media. I ain't blaming anybody. I mean, she's one of the things that I think causes this. Is there's a combination of if your brain isn't working right in the first place, and then you get all of this empowerment because of the media that surrounds you because of your career, and then you also add on top of that the fact that you hit an enormous amount of like a bale of weed that night, and then maybe throw some booze in, the bad things could only happen. And then she starts talking about, I don't know what she said about Courtney Love, but if she called this other chick old and ugly at 27, God knows what she called. She must have called Courtney Love the walking dead.
She probably just compared Courtney Love to a zombie. I would not doubt that at all.
Yeah, probably said she looks like a zombie eating its own guts.
Exactly. Bynes takes on Rihanna. And a bunch of other things. These are stories and then when she got busted the other night, she had on this wig, and the wig was whack. It was a whack wig. She was wearing a long wig that covered her face. Why do people do that?
Well, people do that, Phil, so they're not recognized.
Yeah, but if you know that that's Amanda Bynes under that wig.
Yeah, nobody's going to be fooled by it or nothing.
Well, no one's going to be fooled by it. You're right, Bud. But But, I had a very dear friend of mine. I don't know if you knew Sue Altoetti. Did you know her?
No, I did not.
Robert?
I never know.
Bud?
Who?
Sue Altoetti. You never heard of her?
No, I didn't.
Well, she was an actress. I'm surprised you haven't heard of her. She's been in a number of films. She was in Three Walk This Way. She was in The Glider with Alton Reynolds.
No, I've never heard of The Glider with Alton Reynolds.
Where have you been?
I've never heard of the film.
In any event, good God.
Margaret, I pride myself on knowing something about movies. I've never heard of the movie.
You've never? All right. Did you see her in Show Me Daddy?
No, I've never heard of this. I've never heard of the woman.
Well, in any event, she was arrested for a piece of performance art that was mistaken as bizarre behavior. She was given an involuntary commitment of 72 hours, but she took a bucket, literally a bucket, the only thing she could find, and she dropped the bucket over the top of her head. Now, the bucket had been used by a kitchen crew as where they would urinate. So she didn't know she was dumping a bucket of urine over top of herself. She was simply using this bucket so the media would not photograph her. Do you understand where I'm going?
Yeah.
No, hold on, Phil.
Yeah, you said she took a bucket of pee.
Hold the phone. You guys are looking at me like you think she's nuts.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I just said?
Margaret, I heard what you said, that she took the bucket and she put it over her head to protect herself from being photographed.
Yes.
All right. But the bucket was full of urine.
She didn't know that. Hello.
All right. I know she didn't know that. But the fact is, that act alone is going to cause the cops to go, well, you know.
Well, they're stupid, just like cops usually are. Dumb, stupid cops.
Whoa, man.
Well, you talk about that.
Well, what do you mean, whoa, man?
Well, what is that? So that's not fair. You're a cop. You show up. There's a woman. What did they show up for?
It was a piece of performance art.
Well, what was it?
I'm not going to say because you're going to judge her.
Yeah, see? There's probably something weird.
Yeah.
No, it was not, it was performance. She took a bust of George Washington and she went on it.
You know, you got a lot of friends that are, you know. And what is this thing with pee in a bucket and she went on it, huh?
Yes.
And on George Washington?
It was her commentary on the Iraq War.
All right, so having done that...
Phil, don't give the look like, oh boy, another weirdo. You know, you don't understand performance art at all.
All right, maybe I don't. But the point I'm trying to make here is, you're a cop. You're called to the scene of some woman who is performing a lewd act in public.
I said she was urinating.
It doesn't matter. When a woman does that in public, that's considered a lewd act. So now you're a cop and you show up, and what does she do? She sees you coming, she sees photographers, she takes a bucket and dumps it on her head. That's full of urine. Boy, this lady has got a thing for urine.
No kidding.
I knew you'd take that attitude.
Well, do you blame me? I got to take a break. We'll be right back, folks. We're way late for our break. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
It was the Phil Hendry Show. And I didn't say she urinated, did I?
Oh, no, you're not saying.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, just as a follow-up on the Amanda Bynes story, this young actress, 27 years of age now, although at one time a child star on Nickelodeon. The article here says, you know, that mental health problems flourish in our 20s. I mean, in other words, if you're going to be schizophrenic or bipolar or anything's going to, I mean, not always, but if anything is going to rear its ugly head, you're going to see it in your 20s. Some people don't really come down with illnesses like that. I say come down with. I mean, it's not like it's contagious, but some people, it doesn't become evident in them until like their 40s, which I would think would be really hard because you sort of gotten a certain, you've gotten used to a certain way of thinking and suddenly you're hearing voices. I don't know. But anyway, here's this woman who, according to this article that I just pulled up here from Yahoo, In a matter of weeks, Amanda Bynes has invited Drake to, quote, murder her vagina, end quote. Drake is a hip-hop star and, you know, very popular one, and I guess she's... Does that make her a fan?
I would say that that's a fan speaking, yes.
Okay. She's been arrested for allegedly hurling a bong out her window, accused New York police of slapping her in the crotch. They used a different word here, two O's.
Oh, yeah, cooch.
Will you watch it, please? Announced that her mugshot has inspired her to get a nose job, called Rihanna and Courtney Love ugly, and declared herself a budding rapper. Suffice to say, this is a public meltdown of bald Britney-esque proportions. I'd have to say probably Lindsay Lohan or Charlie Sheen were the last time someone's name has been showing up this much, said Dr. Addy Jaffe, a UCLA addiction specialist who also runs Alternatives Treatment Center in Beverly Hills, and he was talking to Cosmopolitan. While fans of The Amanda Show and What a Girl Wants wonder what the heck happened to that bubbly star of yore, pointing and staring via Twitter in spite of themselves, consider that Bynes 27 is one of many 20-somethings who develop or potentially develop, no one really knows what's up with her right now, psychiatric issues. The reality is your brain isn't really fully developed until your early to mid-20s, so we see psychiatric issues which originate in the brain start creeping up during this time. And then they've got a bunch of stories here that are connected, but it's whack, man. It's whack.
And Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears, they're all goofy. They all flip their lids. Now, can you think of any of the old Hollywood stars that went goofy like this in their 20s? Can you?
Well, no, I mean, I know. I mean, if you look back on history... The history of Hollywood, the history of celebrity. We just were talking about Frances Farmer, okay?
Now, that's a good point.
But Frances Farmer was unique. You know, the studios back then kept a lid on that stuff big time. They had the press in their pocket. They basically said to them, you report anything negative and you guys will never, you won't be able to buy a ticket to a drive-in theater in the middle of the desert. You know, we'll make it so you'll never talk to any of our stars. You will never go, you'll be done in covering Hollywood. So the columnists wouldn't report this stuff. The newspapers wouldn't report this stuff. You'd have to do something pretty crazy. You know, now Frances Farmer was a very outgoing, direct, take no crap, no political skills at all, no social skills at all when it came to dealing with the oppressive nature of what Hollywood was back then, because it was all the 7-year contract to a studio. You did the movies they told you to do. You didn't have any choice. You signed a 7-year deal. There were options in most of those deals. You had to be a huge star to renegotiate or to get what you wanted. There's a few actors that were able to do that, but not many. You know, even Bogart was signed to long-term deals until he was so big. He'd done Casablanca, he'd done Treasure of Sierra Madre. He was so huge that his agent was able to sign him to a series of one-year deals or one-picture deals, things like that. But if you're like just a Frances Farmer or any of these actors, you got 7 years and you do exactly what they tell you to do. Every piece of crap, and if they didn't like you, if a studio decided, it could be something personal, too. It could be the fact that you dated the wrong chick, or you made Louis B. Mayer angry, or you made Daryl Zanuck angry, you made some of these guys angry, and suddenly, well, you know what, I don't like this guy. Stick him in that B vehicle. Stick him in that gorilla movie, or whatever.
That's probably what happened to Bela Lugosi, and they put him in a gorilla movie.
I don't know what happened to Bela Lugosi. That cat, he was a morphine addict, man. He had other problems. But Bela Lugosi.
Well, what happened to the other one, the one that played the Mad Ghoul?
Turhan Bey.
Yes, what happened to Turhan Bey?
What? I don't know. In any event, Turhan Bey. So... Yeah, so these cats would get, and if you're a serious actor, and they all were, I mean, you know, and you're being given nothing but garbage, you're going to flip your lid, you know. And Frances Farmer said, I ain't going to do this stuff. I'm not going to do this work. I'm not going to, you know, and you can't do that, man. She signed a deal. And those clowns, they didn't care whether you were losing your mind. They didn't care if you had psychiatric issues. They put you in a nut bin. They're going to hold you to your contract. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with more on science and 7-year contracts to MGM. You know, I think they're related in some way. It's all about psychiatry. The Phil Hendry Show.
What about that woolly mammoth, man?
Yeah, and the woolly mammoth. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. Now, story here that I really should have gotten to sooner. I think it's a very interesting story, and it's not new. It's every so often it pops back into the news. This is as the result of a copyright claim that has been filed, I think. But the Washington Redskins are under assault again for their name. Now, just so you know, I have to be totally upfront with you on this. I've always been in favor of the Redskins changing their name because I've never seen a more blatantly, frankly, I mean, if you're going to use the contemporary definition, I've never seen a more blatantly racist name in my life, you know?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Hold on, bud.
You're talking about, you said that, the Redskin?
Yeah, Redskin Indian. I mean, come on, what if they were called the Blackskins?
Well, no such thing as a Blackskin.
Well, what if they were called the N-word?
They're not going to do that, man.
Yeah.
Well, Redskin ain't exactly a complimentary term, man. Come on. Give me a break, will you? Just, you know, face up to it. I mean, you can... Daniel Snyder has said they will never, capital N, never change the name of the team. As long as he's owning the team, I guess is what he means by that. And that, So can Capitol Hill get the Washington Redskins to change their name? That's a live question in D.C. Wednesday, since 10 members of Congress have sent a letter asking for such a switch to Redskin owner Daniel Snyder, National League Football Commissioner Roger Goodell, National Football League Commissioner Roger Goodell, Redskin sponsor FedEx, and all the other NFL franchises. This is a story that was in the Christian Science Monitor. The word Redskin is offensive to many Native Americans, said the lawmakers in their missive. Native Americans throughout the country consider the R word a racial derogatory slur akin to the N word among African Americans or the W word among Latinos. The W word?
The W word, yeah.
Which word is that?
WAP.
Not WAP. Latino? You mean Italians?
No, Mexicans.
The W, never mind. So will this be the push that finally gets Mr. Snyder to act? After all, this is a long-running issue. The nickname is already the subject of a legal challenge from a group that wants to strip the team of trademark protection. Native American groups themselves have complained the team name is a slur that should not be allowed. Now, here's the reason why this continues to be an issue. If it was a significant constituency, a large number, Latino, black, white, men, women... But it's not. It's Native Americans. There's not that many of them. It's a small group of people. And so, you know, every time they bring this up, they basically get shouted down by a bunch of stupid white men. I'm sorry.
Now, wait a minute, Phil, because I saw one of the people on there was a black man.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, what do you think about it, Robert? You're black.
I mean, what's wrong with it?
Yeah, what's the matter with it?
He's asking me, man. You're not black.
Well, I agree with you. I could be black now.
You're not black now. I'm black.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I could be black.
No, you're not black. I'm asking him.
Dad.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it because that's a name that we grew up with.
Yeah, but you could have grown up with...
Whoa, hold on. That's a name we grew up with, and that's just a tradition.
It's just the tradition. You know, it used to be a tradition to call black people colored.
Well, they're not calling them the Washington Coloreds.
Why don't they?
Because they're not.
There's more black guys on that team than there's Native American. In fact, there ain't one Native American on that team.
Well, how do you know?
I'll bet you money that the Washington Redskins ain't got one full-blooded Native American on their team. Maybe there's a, I bet you that everybody claims to have Indian blood. I haven't met a person yet in this country who doesn't claim, well, you know, back in my grandmother's line, man, I'm 1/18th Cherokee. Everybody thinks they're an Indian. But I bet you they ain't got one full-blooded Indian on the Washington. But they got a lot of black guys, so why do they call them the Washington Coloreds?
Because that's offensive racially.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? So what's wrong with, so you, but Redskins isn't.
I'm just saying that the tradition.
Well, what about the tradition of calling, you know, black people colored? What if they call them the Washington Spades?
What?
The Washington Spades. What about that?
Yeah, they could have a big black, like a spade from a card on a helmet and everything.
Why don't you shut up, man?
Hey, watch out, will you?
Call me a spade.
Well, why not? Why not call them the Washington Spades? While we're on the subject, there's more white guys probably on that team than there are Native. Call them the Washington Crackers. Call them the Washington Snowflakes. Call them the Washington White Bread. Whatever. But they call them the Redskins. I'm telling you right now, the reason why the Redskin name hangs on is because there isn't enough Native Americans to make a stink about it. There just aren't enough of them. And so they can't...
Well, what do you want them to do, Phil? Do you want them to dress in war paint and surround the wagons? I mean, what do you want? Go to the Great White Father in Washington? The fact is, this has been a football team of long standing. What else is Washington known for?
Well, first of all, this is not a Washington-originating team. This team's from Boston, originally. Okay?
What?
The Redskins were in Boston. They were not the Washington Redskins. They were the Boston Redskins. And they moved to Washington, D.C., I think, in the 40s, okay? That's number one. Number two, the guy that used to own them, this guy, Marshall, I think was his name, this guy was the biggest racist the world has ever seen. This guy...
Well, not the world has ever seen.
Well, you know what I mean. The guy was a... He didn't draft any black players till the 60s. And then he got Bobby Mitchell, who was a running back. And they used to sing Dixie at the training camp. And Bobby Mitchell told the story of this guy, Marshall, standing there and telling him, come on, Bobby, sing Dixie. Come on. You know, like he was sticking it in and breaking it off. I mean, the guy was just a real slob. And the Redskins, as the result, their team sucked for a lot of years, you know, until finally George Allen took over and they started to make the playoffs and do some things. The Washington Redskins were horrible. I mean, horrible, you know, for years. So I think that the ball club was one thing about the Washington Redskins, that before they had the national television package that the NFL signed with the big networks, they had regional television deals that each team would sign with their own broadcasters. The Redskins had a Washington Redskin television network. And the Washington Redskin... what is that, bud?
I don't know.
Something's talking to me, and I don't want it to. There. The Washington Redskins had the Washington Redskin television network, and that covered, guess what? What part of the country do you think it covered?
The South.
Exactly. It was a Southeastern network. The Redskins owned the Southeast when it came to Sunday afternoon football. That was the game that you saw, the Washington Redskin network. I mean, you didn't have to, but that was one of the stations. And in fact, when the Dallas Cowboys wanted their expansion franchise in 1960, the team that most went against them were the Washington Redskins. They didn't want an expansion team in the Southwest. They didn't want an expansion team anywhere near the South because it was going to cut into their television viewing audience. And so I think they actually exacted some kind of a payment or something from the Dallas Cowboys as a result of that. So the Skins had this big Southern following. The Skins have been traditionally, what I'm trying to tell you, as a football organization, they have been traditionally deaf, dumb, and blind when it comes to these kinds of issues. They've had a Southern, excuse me for saying this, folks in the South, because I know you're not that way, you know, you're not like other generations, but the fact is, they've had a constituency, a fan base that didn't give a damn. They had a fan base that didn't care they didn't have any black players. They had a fan base that didn't care that they're called the Redskins. They had a fan base that didn't care this guy Marshall was a quasi racist and just, you know, was running his little fiefdom there. The fans loved it. They probably didn't even care that their team sucked for so many years, and that team was lousy. I mean, between the time they had Sammy Baugh and they finally got George Allen, the team sucked. Six Ways to Sunset, you know.
Yeah, that's that got to do with calling a guy a redskin and everything.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, man. You know, the Native Americans that are protesting this are bringing something to our attention. Now, if we don't give a damn, we don't give a damn. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of hypocrisy in this country. You might as well just pile this right on top of it, you know. Fact is, it is offensive to them. Fact is, there's a lot of things that are offensive to Native Americans. And, you know, they bring it up and people tell them to go stand in the corner and smoke their peace pipe. And that's what happens. And everybody ignores them and they go off. And, you know, what are they supposed to do? You know, Native people, man, are like one of the, I think they're the only minority left where you can pretty much make any kind of joke you want. And there ain't too many people going to make a big stink about it. And if you think about it, these people were almost completely wiped off the face of the earth by the, you know, Europeans.
Well, Phil, do you want us to give it back to them and move back to Ireland and start picking potatoes out of the dirt?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the reality of life, the reality of the spread of civilization is there's always a smaller society getting subsumed or consumed by a larger one. That's the way of the world. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. I understand that. But one of the things we learn along the way is a little bit of humanity. You know, we know we're a larger, stronger society, and smaller, weaker societies have to give. They have to give way. It's the way of mankind. It's the way the human animal is. But we don't have to be marauding slobs about it. Can't we have a little bit of, understanding? Can't we say, you know, sorry we have to kick your ass, but is there anything you'd like to take with you?
Oh, that's funny.
Well, you know what I mean. So that's the only point that I'm making.
Hey, you see the Padre, man. He'll punch your ticket on the way out.
Get out of here, be a smart ass.
Well, Phil, I don't know what point you're proving here. You want to take a team that has been beloved of the Washington, D.C. people, right, Robert?
Yeah, people in the district, man. What about that?
What about the people in the district?
That's what they call it, the district. The Cowboys is going into the district.
Yeah, and how about the rivalry with the Cowboys? You don't have a Redskin and Cowboy? Get out of here, man.
Yeah, I know. It sounds all real neat for television. Do whatever you want to do.
Phil, you're taking a beloved team, the Washington Redskins, from the district. Okay?
Uh-huh. Would you just learn that word?
Drop dead.
Oh, there she goes.
There's no toilet paper.
Well, then get some.
We'll take a break. And then we'll come back to the district here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, out of the district, man.
Good for you.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
I've never heard of a team like that.
That's where they went and called a New York Giant.
The New York Giants were the New York Gargantua?
Yes, that's my understanding. They were Gargantua.
What about Gargantuan?
No, the New York Gargantua.
The New York Gargantua. That's the name of the team?
No, that was the name of the Giants.
I always heard, now here's what I heard.
Phil, no one cares what you heard. I'm telling you the truth.
Wait a second. I heard that the New York Giants nickname came from a comment made by a manager when he walked in. He said, you guys were Giants today. This was back before...
That sounds asinine. That sounds like a real ass story.
Yeah, it sounds pretty ass-like.
Is that what it sounds like? Ass-like? Whatever that means.
Well, three guesses.
Yeah, the first two don't count.
Well, what do you think it means? What, you're telling me that they used to call him the New York Gargantua?
That's my understanding, yes.
Your understanding? Well, I don't think you're right. I think you're wrong. First of all, teams didn't have nicknames back then. They were called the New York Nationals because they played in the National League. And then they started calling them the New York Gothams. And then they called them the...
What's that mean, a Gotham?
He doesn't know.
Yes, I do. You know, I've read more of this history than you have. Which, by the way, brings us to a very interesting article... the 20 most obscure team nicknames in pro sports. New York Rangers. Aren't Rangers generally associated...
Yeah, with gay.
With... Man, will you shut up?
Ain't it?
No, it ain't. Aren't rangers usually associated with the West's wide-open spaces rather than the concrete canyons of New York? Yes, but what many don't know is that the Rangers hockey team, which dates to 1926, was originally owned by Madison Square Garden. The Garden's president back then was G.L. Tex Rickert, which prompted sports writers to call the team Texas Rangers. Oh, boy.
You gotta be putting me on.
Nope. Green Bay Packers.
Well, we know what that's about.
No, we do not know what that's about. No, it's not what you think.
But they did on Living Color.
I don't care what they did on Living Color. Green Bay Packers has got nothing to do with that. It has to do, Packer player, here it is, 1919, Earl Curly Lambeau.
Who?
Curly Lambeau.
Never heard of him.
Oh, well, ain't that too bad. They named a stadium after him, okay? He's a big-time guy there.
Curly Lambeau? That sounds like the actor that was in Kong.
King Kong?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Kong, king of the what?
Oh, the eighth wonder of the world.
Kong, king of the eighth wonder of the world, huh?
You know, your laughter doesn't help, Phil.
Well, excuse me. You guys are particularly weird tonight. Kong, king of the eighth wonder of the world.
Drop dead.
Are you going to go to the bathroom?
No.
In 1919, Earl Curly Lambeau, an original Packer player, convinced his employer, the Indian Packing Company, to buy the team uniforms and let it practice on company property. As a result, the team started off as the Indians. Then they were the Packing Indians. And then finally, the gay community. I'm kidding. No, they were the Indians.
Let me see that.
Give me that. Don't take that away from me.
Is that what it says?
No. The Indians, but soon switched to Packers, a name that caught on in local press accounts. The name made even more sense after the Atlas Packing Company took over the team as it became a charter member of the National Football League. Okay?
What's Football League?
I'm kidding. Football League. So they were called the Packers because it was the Indian Packing Company.
I think that's very unfortunate. And they'd get a lawsuit of the gay community.
Oh, would you grow up, okay?
What?
Now, you guys, just grow up. All right, so that's the Green Bay Packers. The next, the Calgary Flames. I know how they got their name.
How'd they get their name?
I'm not going to tell you because...
Well, then you don't know.
I do know, but you guys will butcher it.
What do you mean?
They were called the Atlanta Flames after the Atlanta Fire, and they moved to Calgary.
I don't understand.
I knew that's exactly what you'd say. If either the NHL's teams in Alberta, Canada, were to be called the Flames, it might seem more logical if it were Edmonton, given its oil fields. The Calgary Flames, however, simply inherited the nickname when the Atlanta Flames relocated in 1980. Thus, they joined such teams as the Los Angeles Lakers and the Utah Jazz in keeping nicknames that don't really fit their current communities. Flames, however, was an odd choice even when the team was in Atlanta, since it referred to a terrible event in city history, namely the fire that leveled Atlanta during the Civil War.
Oh, my God. So they named the Atlanta team after a fire
that basically destroyed their city, yes.
What about the Chicago fire?
What about it?
Well, they could have called a team the Chicago Flames.
Yeah, they could have called a team the Chicago Flames.
Yeah.
Yeah, so?
Why didn't it?
I don't know. They didn't have a guy that wanted to name them the Chicago Flames. They had a guy down in Atlanta, though, that would call them the Atlanta Flames. There was a team called the Chicago Fire. They were in the WFL, the World Football League, but...
Then why not the Chicago Flames?
I don't know, bud, you know. But, you know, someday you are going to realize just how dumb you really are.
You said, but you know, twice. But you know.
God help me. Am I really doing a radio show, or is this kindergarten?
Well, Phil...
Okay, here's one. The name, the Kansas City Chiefs. The name Chiefs, one might assume, was inspired by the Native Americans who lived in the U.S. heartland. That's not really the case. In fact, oil tycoon Lamar Hunt, the team's owner, selected Chiefs in honor of Kansas City Mayor H. Roe Bartle, whose nickname was the Chief. Bartle, who served as mayor from 1956 to 1963, was instrumental in bringing Hunt's Dallas Texans to Kansas City in 1962, a move aimed at finding a market where the franchise, then in the AFL, would have the football market all to itself rather than having to compete with the NFL's Cowboys. Regardless of what inspired the Chiefs' nickname, the team has made a connection with Native Americans in other ways, such as using an Arrowhead logo and playing in Arrowhead Stadium.
Well, now, see, why don't they change that name?
I don't think Chief is anywhere near as offensive as Redskin.
What?
Oh, get out of here. You guys are just being stupid on purpose. Chief ain't anywhere near as offensive as Redskin. All right, the next one, the Los Angeles Clippers. Like many team nicknames, Clippers grew out of a name the team contest. Fan input was solicited when the franchise, which began as the Buffalo Braves in 1970, moved to San Diego in 1978. The team wanted a fresh new... Boy, that's interesting, man. No basketball team has ever...
No, finish it.
I'm sorry. So the team wanted a brand new nickname, so they selected Clippers since great sailing ships were often seen in San Diego Bay. Just as the Lakers once kept their nickname upon moving from Minneapolis to L.A., so too did the Clippers in moving up the coast to L.A. in 1984. San Diego, man, can't hold on to a basketball team to save their ass. Or a hockey team, for that matter.
What do they have there?
They've got baseball and football. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com for a backstage pass and the world of joy and fun and greatness that can be yours at philhendryshow.com. We'll see you guys tonight at 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Till then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.